I remember Yaru got over 90. Is Yaru here? No, not yet. Where? And you don't check up on it. Everyone will somehow assume that they're not supposed to read the materials. So Burijan has failed as a teacher in this way too, because a lot of people don't read the materials and read it right before class and don't actually read it carefully. So I had planned to give quizzes, but it just wasn't practical with over 50 students in the class. For your own good and welfare, please read the materials. You'll learn it. You'll be able to participate in the discussions, the classroom participation more. Okay. Now, what we're going to do in this period, we're going to go over the lesson. Did you read it? How's it? Yes or no? Okay, read it, Dhammanor? You didn't read it? Okay, because you didn't read it, you get a letter. You don't read the letter either. If you don't read your homework, you can't read the letter, at least until after class. So we'll have a short presentation on questioning, and then we'll go right into the discussion practice. We're not going to do the next section, which is analysis of questions. It's a little detailed and probably not needed. If you're interested, you can read it. For tomorrow, I would like everyone to read, and if you don't read this by tomorrow, you're going to have difficulty following the lesson tomorrow. It's quite a theoretical lesson. This is probably the most theoretical lesson on learning theory. The most theoretical lesson we're going to have in the next 2 days. The principles of learning theory from 101 to 107. Read it carefully. 101 to 107. And there'll be also an addition, there'll be a quiz on that, and if you don't read it in advance, you're not going to follow it in the lesson. And if you don't follow it in the lesson, when the teacher gives a test, it's going to be awful. There'll be moans and groans. Okay, on questioning. Does anyone have any questions on anything we spoke of up till now? Yes,
husband. Any particular day on last exam, either Monday or Tuesday?
Yes, either Monday or Tuesday. We'll tell you that, yes, it will be on one of those particular days.
Right.
Not on both. Excuse me? It will cover only this learning theory. Only learning theory. The questioning is part of discussion, and that will be part of the Wednesday's test. Now, I will give you some examples of typical questions. In case you haven't figured out what type of questions Burijan Das asks on his test, in this lesson, I will give you some examples. We're on questioning. Now, questioning is obviously essential for life. Questioning is not only essential for human life and spiritual life, even the animals are asking questions. Prabhupada, on one tape, he imitated the birds. As soon as they wake up in the morning, they begin asking, where is worm, where is worm, where is worm? Even if the questions that we ask are on the level of just eating and sleeping and mating and defending, still, just to live and exist, questions are asked. But how to get the most out of our questioning? Now, this lesson on questioning should be understood in relationship to discussion and leading a discussion. So how to use questions, how to ask questions in general, but especially how to ask questions to stimulate and to lead discussion. Because again, the particular unit we are, or procedure that we are speaking of here, is discussion. So we gave some qualities of good questions. The first one was that it should be spiritual. But of course, not only should all our questions have some connection with Krishna, but if we are intelligent, if we want to use the vital energy of our life so it brings us some actual value, every single thing that we do should be connected with Krishna. And somehow, every single thing we should do in life should advance us closer to the lotus feet of Krishna. And if we don't have that discrimination, we will not make advancement very quickly, actually. So as everything that we do should bring us closer to Krishna, and this should actually be the consciousness of a human being if he is intelligent. Komaram macharet pragyo doman bhagavatani ha. This is human life, to practice that which will bring us closer to Krishna. So naturally, questioning also should be connected to Krishna. And if one learns the art of questioning, coming from an inquiring spirit of how I can get closer to Krishna, being born out of a humility that I am not close to Krishna, and my life is so much wasted. And when our heart feels the pinching of material life and some pain due to separation from Krishna, then we should begin questioning how to get closer to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, in a purport by Srila Prabhupada, I believe in the where Vidura comes and frees Dhritarashtra from his material bondage, Prabhupada explains that the material nature is always giving us miseries. And these miseries are like pinching. Next time you're in the restaurant, you make an experiment. You eat some what they call pizza, and have your friend who is sitting next to you be pinching you very hard while you're trying to enjoy. That is material life, just squeezing you like this. We're trying to enjoy, but the material energy is simply pinching us. And we try to remove the pinching over here, and it pinches us somewhere else. So we tend to want to remove the pinching, but actually that pinching is Krishna and Krishna's mercy. So we understand clearly there is no way we can be happy in material life. And therefore, we should question from the right people how we can become free and attain the lotus feet of Krishna. This is intelligence. And one who has this determination, vyavya satmika buddhi, ekeha kurunandana, bahushaka tvanantastra, buddhya vyavasayana. One who has this determination, he is ekeha kurunandana. He is fixed and he will make very, very quick progress in spiritual life. So questions ultimately have value if they are inquiring questions how we can get closer to Krishna. Aside from that, most essential point. We have given five other qualities of a good question. They are clear. What does clear mean? It means that you know what you are asking about. To ask a good question, one has to be very intelligent. One has to have a piercing intelligence to get to the essence of the subject matter. And good questions have so much potency that they will enliven the speaker to open his heart and reveal everything that he knows about Krishna if the question is thoughtful, clear. So one should think in advance before one speaks. Prabhupada said this is the quality of a gentleman. He thinks twice before speaking. There is a Chinese saying, Confucian saying, a little story, how one duke, one nobleman, was speaking about another nobleman. And he said he is so careful that he speaks three times. He thinks three times before speaking. And Confucius's answer was, twice is sufficient. One should think twice before speaking. Generally speaking, people think as they are speaking, or even more commonly, after they have spoken, they begin thinking. But the gentleman speaks before, he thinks before he speaks, and he decides what is it he wants to know. He has his question thought out in advance, and he says it very clearly and simply. Spiritual life, if we take a little time to think, it is very helpful. Think before speaking. Think in advance exactly what I wish to know. Good questions are purposeful. They have a purpose. You want to learn something specific, not just tell me about Krishna consciousness. When someone asks you, tell me about Krishna consciousness, it's so hard to know where to begin. If someone says, on the other hand, I want to practice Krishna consciousness now, please tell me how I can begin, or please tell me how I can take a step closer to Krishna, there is intent, purpose in that question, and therefore it will get a much better response than please tell me about Krishna consciousness. I want to advance. How can I advance? Please tell me. What can I do to attain the lotus feet of Krishna? Good questions are naturally spoken. Sometimes we speak in an artificial way, trying to use many big words that are meant to impress others. But just as you would speak to a friend, you ask your questions in a simple, natural, purposeful, and clear way. And finally, and most difficult, good questions are thought-provoking. Good questions are difficult to come up with. When they proceed from deep within our own heart of things that we deeply want to know, and other people hear those questions, just like while Sukadev Goswami was being questioned by Prickett Maharaj, he himself was enlivened by the questions, and all the sages who were listening to this glorious conversation as Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken, they were also enlivened by the questions. They provoked thought. They brought the conversation deeper. Because Prickett Maharaj was deep. He was asking, I'm about to die. What is actually my duty? What is the best thing I can do considering that I am about to die. I have only 7 days left in my life. What should I do now? How should I use this valuable time? So that one question brought so much response. Thought-provoking, deep questions. But how does one come up with a deep thought-provoking question? Sometimes we think that, let me ask something deep and thought-provoking here. So anyway, we think like that. Let me find some deep thought-provoking question. And obviously thinking like that is not how to come up with a proper question. The real way is be deeply inquiring in one's own life and to listen carefully. So this last quality of a good question, of being thought-provoking, is not easy to get. It is a blessing by Krishna's mercy. Are there any questions about these? All this material has been covered in the first half of the lesson.
Brief questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Brevity. Good questions are brief. I know there are some places, and you'll hear it often in a Bhagavatam class or somewhere or another, that people ask a question and then the question goes on and 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 on, and there's no question almost. Or sometimes there is a question, but it takes so long before the person can figure out what he is asking even. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj has said that eloquence is truth spoken concisely. What does that mean? Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. What does that mean? Because I've asked a question, I'm waiting. I've waited my more than 3 seconds. If I would have waited 3 seconds, I couldn't have called on anyone. Then, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we'll wait a few more seconds. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. Okay, we're doing better now. Okay, so
something that doesn't have unnecessary verbiage, just spoken to the point.
To the point, it's clear. It's deep, it's truth, or inquiring about the truth. There's no extra words. The person knows just what he's going to ask. He's not using the opportunity to talk, to understand his own mind, and to torture everyone else's mind. He knows what he is going, he has done it, he's thoughtful, he's considerate. He's thought about what he wants to know, and he simply asks it very clearly, concisely. And it has power to it. Just by doing this, it has power. So brevity with depth is very powerful. Anyone like to add any more on that?
Say that to ask a good question and love of your own intelligence is like carrying it off. Because if somebody doesn't feel it very intelligent, you shouldn't ask questions.
So now we have to find out if that's a good question or not. No. First of all, people usually do not think that they're very intelligent. They don't think that they're not very intelligent. But what happens is people become afraid to ask a question and other people will think they're not intelligent. But actually, if we just follow the rule to think before speaking, do I actually know the answer to this already? Has this question been asked before? Do I know what I really want to ask? Is there another way I can find it out? Just like sometimes I'll ask someone. My watch is right on my hand, and I'll ask, what time is it? And with just the slightest of effort, I could find out myself. No, we should ask questions. We should be sincere. If we sincerely want to know something, that's sufficient, actually. Even Prabhupada gave the example about foolish questions. He said, it's in the last part of the Ramayana. I think I must have said this one. And he's asking the question, whose father was Sita? It's in the last act of the Ramayana, and someone is asking, whose father is Sita? Prabhupada made that comment in Bombay at a pandal. And at that pandal, it was the last public pandal Prabhupada performed, and he was in a very heavy mood. He was preaching very straight about materialistic civilization being horrible. And one man asked, who is God? And Prabhupada was furious. He said, you are Indian and you are asking who is God? And then he said that. The last act of the Ramayana, and someone is asking, whose father is Sita? You are Indian and you don't know who is God? Rascal. That is a foolish question. He's not asking to find out who is God if he doesn't know. But he's asking to test Prabhupada's knowledge of who is God, so he can say, well, I don't believe in God. After Prabhupada explains, I don't believe. So rascal. So Prabhupada chastised him so strongly. So we should ask questions, especially in the society of devotees, in the association of devotees. We should not waste each other's time. We should ask questions, sincerely expressing our heart's desire to get closer to Krishna. And I am looking for that thing that's going to bring me a step closer to Krishna, to the lotus feet of Krishna. My mind is burning with that desire. Those type of questions are always intelligent. Because they're sincere. No one will criticize someone except to teach them something else. For a legitimate question. So your question brought out some Prabhupada nectar, so it was a good question. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Using questions to lead discussion. Whether we are leading a discussion with a group, as we sometimes do here, where the teacher is the center, or in small groups that you're going to practice right after we finish this. These four types of questions or techniques, they're actually more technique than question, that the discussion leader can use. They're techniques that a discussion leader will use to lead the discussion, carry it further. We've named four types. The first type, does anyone, without looking, remember one of these types? Or know the four types without looking? Oops. Very good. Krishna Kripa. Thank you. Okay, one type is a good beginning. Focusing. That's the first one. You looked before? No. Anyway, sometime before you must have looked. Okay, focusing. Any others? Anyone remember any others? Yes, Dave.
Pause.
What?
Pause.
Pause? Pausing? No, this is asking for questions. Well, there are four specific types of questions that a discussion leader uses. What type of questions? Okay, by the end of this lesson, everyone will be able to know without looking, these four types of questions, without even having looked at the book either. A focusing question is one. The second is an extending question. The third is a foundation question. I've taken them out of order. And the fourth is a lifting question. Each one of the names of these questions, they give direct hints as to what the question actually does. Which was the first one? Now, who can remember these four, or one of the four? Okay, that's about 80%. Who can remember all four? Okay, that's 20%. Okay, now I'm going to say them again. A focusing question. Now, the second one is a foundation question. Focusing, foundation. Okay, the third one is an extending question, and the fourth one is a lifting question. What's one? Raise your hand, raise your hand. Yes, Paul.
Focusing.
Foundation.
Extending.
Lifting. Thank you. Okay, focusing question. There are three types of focusing questions. It's all in the first four lines on page 85. Focusing questions help us introduce the topic of the discussion. You're going to focus the discussion on one topic. You're going to focus the discussion on one topic. Now, I said in the beginning of this class that I'd give you some typical type of questions that Burujan asks. But instead of doing it that way, on the first part when we talked about type, what makes a good question, what's the typical type of question that Burujan would ask on a test? Right, raise your hands. Four qualities, right? No, I'm sorry. On the first, this lesson is divided into two parts. One is these four kinds that used to lead the discussion, and the first part was on the qualities. What is a question, and what makes a good question? So on the first part, I didn't make that clear. On the first part, what makes a good question? What's a typical type of question that I may ask on a test? Okay. Or three out of the four, or just name three qualities like that. And in this part of using questions to lead discussions, what is a typical type of question that I may ask? Okay, this was okay. I just asked the right question now. You had the right answer already. Right. What are three types of focusing questions? But then if I do that, I'll be giving away one of the names of one of the types of the four different types of questions. So I'd have to be very careful about that one. What are four, three, what?
It would never be so easy.
Oh. Well, these are just the kind of questions I ask. Simple. Okay, here they are. These questions, they help introduce the topic of the discussion. They serve to refocus or sharpen a discussion that has strayed somewhat from its original course. So you're going to introduce the discussion with a focusing question. Let's talk about questions. Why don't you tell me the value of, let's talk about the value of questions in leading a discussion. That's a focusing question to introduce focusing. Focusing the attention of the group on discussing. Then, say if we've if the discussion has led to something else, and we want to bring it back, we can ask another type of a focusing question, just to re-bring it back, not to introduce, but to refocus. So to introduce, to refocus. And then the third one is to change the subtopic. You're talking generally about questions. Okay, now that we've talked about the four different types of questions used to lead the discussion, what are the names of the four different types of focusing, or three different types of focusing questions? So that is going to focus it into a bit of a different area. Now the discussion leader, even if it's a small group with five people, if he's listening carefully, he sometimes has to ask these types of questions. Okay, we've spoken about this for a while. Now how about this point over here? We've talked about how we'd like to have Rath Yatra in Vrindavan, but let's talk now about if it's practical, actually practical. Okay, the second that was focusing question. The second type of question is a foundation question, which is very simple. What is a foundation question? It's a call for more, for foundational facts that is needed for everyone to know or think about as part of in the discussion that's going to go on. It's a call for facts, foundational facts. The difference between that and an extending question is also a call for information, but it's not a call for foundational facts, but it's a call for more information. So it's extending the information that's needed, or it's pulling, extending the information. And the fourth type of question is the lifting question, which brings the discussion deeper, and it calls for higher thought processes. It lifts the level, with these type of questions, it lifts the level of discussion higher. Higher meaning deeper. Deeper, higher and deeper are opposite, unfortunately, to each other, but they mean the same thing in this case. It's more complex thought, more difficult thought processes. Typically, why? Okay, not so many devotees. How many devotees have joined the temple in the last year? That's like a foundational question, calling for facts, basic. Okay. Now, why do you think so many joined? So it brings the thought level, lifts it higher to a more complex form of reasoning. More discrimination is needed. Not just facts are being called for, but applied knowledge, applied reasoning is required. Okay, does anyone have any questions on these four types of questions used to lead a discussion?
An extending question?
On which one you say the example?
The foundation is having
a children. Right. So, okay, how many people join? I'd like to know how many join who were Indian devotees who joined, and how many of them were Western devotees or traveling in India. So it's on the same level of how many. It's not lifting, it's not higher, more difficult, but it's a call for more information, extends the amount of information that we have. It's on the same level, but just more of it, more information. Clear? Any other questions about this?
In the focusing question, there are three types. Introducing the topic, refocusing the sharp discussion,
change the subtopic. Later on, there is another one, switch to the electron.
Yeah, that's okay. Switch to the
form.
Yes, correct. So not only is switching from a topic to a subtopic, but also just changing the direction completely. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, without any further ado, let us use the remaining time to break into small groups of five and start discussing. Choose who's going to go first, go through all the things that we learned, an introduction, get the tension going, start the discussion. The discussion leader should use these type of questions to direct the discussion. And then, a little artificially, in about 5 to 8 minutes, one person should be designated as the timer. In 5 to 8 minutes, close up the discussion. Then spend 3 or 4 minutes just discussing the discussion, what went well, what didn't go well, the use of the techniques, and go through each of the techniques, the opening, the summary, and the leading, and discuss that, and let the leader get some feedback and see what you've learned. At the end, we'll spend 5 minutes or even 10 minutes if we can, discussing what you've all learned from leading and participating in these discussions. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about what you're going to do? Yes. Small groups of five. So there's Matichis, why don't you go into that other room? Gives you more room there. And I think there's two groups of five. But stay in groups of five. And then five over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Maharaj. Go with this group over here, starting with Mahahari and working going that way. And these five over here. And the rest of everyone, divide into fives. And you should all have had topics. So you can begin, and I'll circulate and see how you're doing. One of the times when a discussion is practical is after an activity. You can see why it would be absurd to have a lecture now on how the discussions went, because we want to get the information from the different groups. So I would just like a show of hands. How many felt that in the groups they were in, that they got involved in the discussion? Okay, that's quite good, all the discussions. Now, other than that, let's just hear some points of what you learned, what things that went well that you learned from and things that didn't go well. That's like in one of the groups, one of the leaders was expressing that the interaction seemed to be mostly between two people, and that it seemed like mentally she was considering that maybe if everyone raised their hands, it would make it easier to spread around the participation. So that would, I would say, that's how we learn so many things from experience like that. We hear about it a little theoretically, but we ultimately learn an awful lot from experience. So any other things that we learn? Okay, Shuka?
Well, I presented the topic, and it was not in the beginning, it was not easily understood. Of course, I was using too many words and being too long. As you said, you could be more down to the point and keep it short.
Yeah.
Keep everything short.
Keep it short, very good. How many, as discussion leaders, felt that you could keep neutral? All those who led the discussions, raise your hand. Now, out of you who led discussions, all those who could not, who got involved in the discussion and weren't neutral, raise your hand. Okay. So, how did you feel? Did that work? Or did that get in the way? Well, I'll tell you one thing from experience, that the people who don't agree with you won't like it that you're leading the discussion, and you're, because you're the one who ultimately is going to have the summary, and it's too much a powerful position. You create many enemies like that. Discussion leader must remain neutral. Okay, anything, other things that we'll learn? Shall we run the pool?
Yeah, the good. Just to avoid this point also, to make familiarize everybody else, have a little discussion on that, especially in a small group.
It was good for making friends, you're saying, or it was...
No, it was good to carry out a discussion to familiarize everybody.
I'm not sure what you mean. The discussion helped you? Or it was helpful for the discussion if you got to know each other first in the beginning. Good. Because people aren't relaxed to actually express their opinions unless they trust and know the people.
Sure. Yeah, I used one technique that seems to work very good in our group without them noticing. And it was, this discussion started in one level, and then I refocused the whole discussion into another question, and then they all fall very gentle into it without, and then I made them aware, you know, that I used this technique to...
Oh, so you were actually heading for the second point, right, but you did it through a first point. You got them interested in the first point, and then you brought out a question. Good.
So, we had another topic by Maharaj.
But loudly, so.
We had another topic by Maharaj, and it was very enlightening and something new to learn. It was about the importance of this family alone. But because of our lack of knowledge of part of it, we learned a lot. We couldn't get a summary in this little shortage of time.
Yeah.
So when there's somebody who's realized more than us, we find we need more time in this country.
But certain topics may be more suitable for lecture, like if we were this, or let people research it and then come back and discuss it. Say, if I'm the only one who knows something about quantum mechanics, and then I expect my group to have a discussion on it. So that came up, and which was that group that same point came up in? That you have to, your discussion topic must be suitable for the audience, the information of the audience. Not that that may not have been the case in your group, but it's something to always consider. Any other points that were learned?
That the opening statement.
What?
That the opening statement has to be done in a proper way so that both sides of the argument are presented.
The opening statement should be done so it creates the tension. So people will naturally take one side or the other side. And when you have five people and someone takes one side, almost always someone will take the other side too. And then you have the beginning of a discussion.
Can I agree with you were discussing the pros and cons of vegetarianism versus eating health-wise? And because there was a problem because everyone went to vegetarianism, so we used role-playing.
Yeah, you had to go into role-playing. But then, to make role-playing effective, you have to go out of roles, too, occasionally, to see how is this affecting you, how do you feel about this person's argument. Yeah, longer the
phone. I found this discussion like a good lesson of tolerance, because you should tolerate other devotee point of view, other devotee conclusion, and finally we should summarize and find our all group conclusion.
Yeah. Discussion is very, because we all, everyone's consciousness is expanded, unless we love Krishna, it's expanded to a limited degree. And we have everything fit in. We understand everything, but it is not always at the highest level. So when we hear other opinions, it doesn't fit into our concept of reality. And sometimes we get angry, and sometimes we get confused. But this is actually meant for our growing. Just like when the first time we're presented with the Krishna conscious philosophy before we're devotees, sometimes we get very upset. You know, it disturbs us very much because our whole life has been turned upside down by this, some of the philosophy. And then introduce focusing. Focusing the attention of the group on discussing. Then, say if we've if the discussion has led to something else and we want to bring it back, we can ask another type of a focusing question, just to re-bring it back, not to introduce, but to refocus. So to introduce, to refocus. And then the third one is to change the subtopic. You're talking generally about questions. Okay, now that we've talked about the four different types of questions used to lead the discussion, what are the names of the four different types of focusing, or three different types of focusing questions? So that is going to focus it into a bit of a different area. Now the discussion leader, even if it's a small group with five people, if he's listening carefully, he sometimes has to ask these types of questions. Okay, we've spoken about this for a while. Now how about this point over here? We've talked about how we'd like to have Rath Yatra in Vrindavan. But let's talk now about if it's practical, actually practical. Okay, the second that was focusing question. The second type of question is a foundation question, which is very simple. What is a foundation question? It's a call for more, for foundational facts that is needed for everyone to know or think about as part of in the discussion that's going to go on. It's a call for facts, foundational facts. The difference between that and an extending question. An extending question is also a call for information, but it's not a call for foundational facts, but it's a call for more information. So it's extending the information that's needed, or it's pulling, extending the information. And the fourth type of question is the lifting question, which brings the discussion deeper, and it calls for higher thought processes. It lifts the level with these type of questions. It lifts the level of discussion higher. Higher meaning deeper. Deeper, higher and deeper are opposite, unfortunately, to each other, but they mean the same thing in this case. It's more complex thought, more difficult thought processes. Typically, why? Okay, not so many devotees. How many devotees have joined the temple in the last year? That's like a foundational question, calling for facts, basic. Okay. Now, why do you think so many joined? So it brings the thought level, lifts it higher to a more complex form of reasoning. More discrimination is needed. Not just facts are being called for, but applied knowledge, applied reasoning is required. Okay, does anyone have any questions on these four types of questions used to lead a discussion? An extending question? And which one you said example?
The foundation is having a children.
Right. So, okay, how many people join? I'd like to know how many joined who were Indian,
who were Indian devotees who joined, and how many of them were Western devotees or traveling in India. So it's on the same level of how many. It's not lifting, it's not higher, more difficult, but it's a call for more information, extends the amount of information that we have. It's on the same level, but just more of it, more information. Clear? Any other questions about this?
In the focusing question, we have three times. To reach the topic, we focus in a sharper discussion and change the subtopic.
Yes.
Later on, there is another one, switch the direction.
Yeah, that's okay. Switch to the
form.
Yes, correct. So not only is switching from a topic to a subtopic, but also just changing the direction completely. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, without any further ado, let us use the remaining time to break into small groups of five and start discussing. Choose who's going to go first. Go through all the things that we learn, an introduction, get the tension going, start the discussion. The discussion leader should use these type of questions to direct the discussion. And then a little artificially, in about 5 to 8 minutes, one person should be designated as the timer. In 5 to 8 minutes, close up the discussion. Then spend 3 or 4 minutes just discussing the discussion, what went well, what didn't go well, the use of the techniques, and go through each of the techniques, the opening, the summary, and the leading, and discuss that, and let the leader get some feedback and see what you've learned. At the end, we'll spend 5 minutes or even 10 minutes if we can, discussing what you've all learned from leading and participating in these discussions. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about what you're going to do? Yes. Small groups of five. So there's Matichis. Why don't you go into that other room? Gives you more room there, and I think there's two groups of five. But stay in groups of five, and then five over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Maharaj. Go with this group over here, starting with Mahahari and working going that way. And these five over here. And the rest of everyone, divide into fives. And you should all have had topics. So you can begin, and I'll circulate and see how you're doing. One of the times when a discussion is practical is after an activity. You can see why it would be absurd to have a lecture now on how the discussions went, because we want to get the information from the different groups. So I would just like a show of hands. How many felt that in the groups they were in, that they got involved in the discussion? Okay, that's quite good, or the discussion. Now, other than that, let's just hear some points of what you learned, what things that went well that you learned from and things that didn't go well. That's like in one of the groups, one of the leaders was expressing that the interaction seemed to be mostly between two people, and that it seemed like mentally she was considering that maybe if everyone raised their hands, it would make it easier to spread around the participation. So that would, I would say, that's how we learn so many things from experience like that. We hear about it a little theoretically, but we ultimately learn an awful lot from experience. So any other things that we'll learn? Okay, Shukra?
Well, I presented the topic and it was not in the beginning, it was not easily understood. Of course, I was using too many words and being too long. As you said, you should be more down to the point and keep it short.
Yeah. Keep it short, very good. How many as discussion leaders felt that you could keep neutral? All those who read this, led discussions. All those who read, led the discussions, raise your hand. Now, out of you who led discussions, all those who could not, who got involved in the discussion and weren't neutral, raise your hand. Okay. So, how did you feel? Did that work? Or did that get in the way? Well, I'll tell you one thing from experience, that the people who don't agree with you won't like it that you're leading the discussion, and you're, because you're the one who ultimately is going to have the summary, and it's too much a powerful position. You create many enemies like that. Discussion leader must remain neutral. Okay, anything other things that we'll learn? Shall we run up?
Yeah, all is good. Just to avoid this point also, to make familiarize everybody and make fun, have a little of that, especially in a small group.
It was good for making friends, you're saying, or it was...
No, it was good to carry out the discussion to familiarize everybody.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure what you mean. The discussion helped you, or it was helpful for the discussion if you got to know each other first in the beginning?
Yeah,
good. Because people aren't relaxed to actually express their opinions unless they trust and know the people.
Check. Yeah, I used one technique that seems to work very good in our group without them noticing. And it was, his costume started in one level, and then I refocused the whole discussion into another question, and then they all fall very gentle into it without. And then I made them aware, you know, that I used this technique to.
Oh, so you were actually heading for the second point,
right,
but you did it through a first point. You got them interested in the first point, and then you brought out a question. Good.
We had another topic by Maharaj.
But louder, so.
We had another topic by Maharaj, and it was very enlightening and something new to us. It was about the importance of this family alone. But because of our lack of knowledge of part of it, we learned a lot. We couldn't get a summary and it was shorter of time.
Yeah.
So when there's somebody who's realized more than us, we find we need more time.
But certain topics may be more suitable for lecture, like if we were let people research it and then come back and discuss it. Say if I'm the only one who knows something about quantum mechanics, and then I expect my group to have a discussion on it. So that came up, and which was that group that same point came up in? That you have to, your discussion topic must be suitable for the audience, the information of the audience. Not that that may not have been the case in your group, but it's something to always consider. Any other points that were learned?
Does the opening statement.
What?
But the opening statement has to be done in a proper way so that both sides of the argument are presented.
The opening statement should be done so it creates the tension. So people will naturally take one side or the other side. And when you have five people and someone takes one side, almost always someone will take the other side too. And then you have the beginning of a discussion.
Can you repeat, we're discussing the pros and cons of vegetarianism versus eating health-wise. And because there was a problem because everyone was a vegetarian, so we used role-playing.
Yeah, you had to go into role-playing. But then, to make role-playing effective, you have to go out of roles, too, occasionally, to see how is this affecting you, how do you feel about this person's argument. Yeah, longer the
phone. I found this question like a good lesson of tolerance, because we should tolerate other devotee point of view, other devotee conclusion, and finally we should summarize and find our all good conclusion. Would you like to take part in this?
Yeah. Discussion is very... Because we all, everyone's consciousness is expanded. Unless we love Krishna, it's expanded to a limited degree. And we have everything fit in. We understand everything, but it is not always at the highest level. So when we hear other opinions, it doesn't fit into our concept of reality. And sometimes we get angry, and sometimes we get confused. But this is actually meant for our growing. Just like when the first time we're presented with the Krishna conscious philosophy before we're devotees, sometimes we get very upset. You know, it disturbs us very much because our whole life has been turned upside down by this, some of the philosophy. And then